Luke chapter 19. In fact, I'm about sure I won't get done today before we even start. I'm about sure I won't get done this morning, I should say. And we'll probably, if the Lord will help us, come back and deal with it tonight, or deal with some more on this tonight. Luke chapter 19, we'll start in verse number 1. How many has heard of the little man named Zacchaeus? Everybody heard of him? I promise you, everybody just about it has heard of Zacchaeus in this room today. Probably since you was a child, you sang the little song, Zacchaeus was a wee little man, a wee little man was he. Climbed up in a sycamore tree for the Lord he wanted to see. You remember that? And sung that little chorus. So we were introduced to this man. But I want to tell you what it was that made him great. It wasn't his size, and it wasn't his silver and gold, but it was his salvation. That's what made Zacchaeus great. But in verse number 1, let's read it, all right? The Bible says, "And Jesus entered and passed through Jericho. And behold, there was a man named Zacchaeus, which was of the chief among publicans, and he was rich. And he sought to see Jesus, who he was, and could not for the press, because he was little of stature. And the Bible says, he ran before and climbed up into a sycamore tree to see him, for he was to pass that way. When Jesus came to the place, he looked up and saw him and said unto him, Zacchaeus, make haste and come down, for today I must abide at thy house. And he made haste and came down and received him joyfully. And when they saw it, they all murmured, saying this, that he was gone to be guest with a man that is a sinner. And Zacchaeus stood and said unto the Lord, Behold, Lord, the half of my goods I give to the poor. And if I have taken anything from any man by false accusation, I restore him fourfold. Jesus said unto him, This day is salvation come to this house. For so much as he also is the son of Abraham. Verse 10. For the Son of Man is come, not was come, but is come to seek and to save that which is lost. Now, verse number 10 describes the context. Verse number 10 tells us what the main thrust that Jesus is trying to get across by telling us the story of Zacchaeus. He's letting us know that Jesus Christ can only save sinners. Amen. You say, preacher, I'm terrible. Preacher, you don't know what I've done. You don't know the things that I'm guilty of. I'm telling you, Jesus Christ come to seek and to save that which is lost. Amen. You can't get too bad for the Lord to save you. But now you can get too good. You can get too good. God don't save good people. God saves sinners. Amen? God saves sinners. Paul said, this is an acceptable saying, worthy of all acceptation, that Christ Jesus came into the world to save sinners, of whom I am chief. Paul said he was the chief. And if God can save the chief, He can save the rest of the little Indians. Amen. But I want to deal with Zacchaeus tonight, or this morning and tonight, if the Lord will help me, just on salvation. Just dealing with the salvation of Zacchaeus. And we know that he got saved. We know that he got saved because of what is stated in verse number 9. The Bible says in verse number 9 that Jesus said unto him, this day is salvation come to this house. Boy, I like that. Not somewhere later on, not in the future, but this day. Amen. You know when Jesus saved sinners? Now. He don't save them yesterday. Yesterday's gone. He don't save them tomorrow. Tomorrow may never come. He saves them in the today zone. Right now. Amen. And so I want to deal with that as the Lord would help me. So let's just go back and begin to filter through these verses of Scripture. And let's look at Zacchaeus and his salvation and what it included. And what some of the key things that showed up in Zacchaeus' salvation. And as we go through these, I know we won't deal with all of them this morning. You'd have to pack a lunch if you did. But as we go through these, you should be able to do like Bobby said. You ought to be able to just check them off. Amen? Because we know from Jesus' own mouth that Zacchaeus got saved. Amen. Jesus told him he got saved. Hey, I want to tell you, that's a good thing. I'll just jump ahead and say it. That's a good thing right there. You should not settle for a salvation that your mama told you, or your daddy told you, or my friend your preacher told you, or your friend told you, or even you told yourself. You better make sure Jesus is telling you, this day is salvation come to this house. Amen? Let Jesus, who is the authority, tell you whether or not you are saved. I'd never seen that till just then. Let's go back in verse number 1 and start. I'll probably deal with about 3 things this morning, maybe 4, depending on just exactly how it goes. But I want to look first of all, and this is important. The first thing I noticed about the salvation of Zacchaeus is, number 1, it involved a visitation. Look at verse number 1. The Bible said, and Jesus entered and passed through Jericho. In other words, Jesus had to get where Zacchaeus was before salvation could transpire. Amen? Well, I like that song Squire Parsons wrote years ago, when I could not come to him, he came to me. Amen? Oh, I like it. If I knew it, I'd sing a lick or two of it. Amen? But I don't know it that well. But I'm glad for that principle that's in the Scripture, that those sinners can't come to Jesus. They don't have the ability. They don't have the urge. They don't have the desire. And they don't have the ability. Amen? Jesus must pay a visit to where you are. Amen? Now, that might be on a church pew. That might be in your bed. That might be in a shower, as Brother Ivan. It might be in a tree stand. Amen. It might be on the side of the road. It might be on a church pew. It might be an altar. It might be in a Sunday school class. Brother Randy got saved in a Sunday school class. Are you listening? But I'm telling you, it is a requirement. It cannot happen. Salvation cannot happen until there is a divine meeting between a seeking Savior and a seeking sinner.
Amen.
Amen. Now, amen. I'm talking about a visitation. Jesus, and by the way, let me just say this right here real quickly. As far as we know in the Scripture, Jesus only passed through Jericho, Brother Carroll. How many fingers I got up right there? One time. What if Zacchaeus would have said, like a lot of people in church or have been given the offer or invitation about being saved, well, preacher, I think I'll wait. After all, I'm only 16 years old, or 21 or 30 or whatever. I'm going to wait. I've got things I want to do. And you know, I'm more interested now in popularity than I am pardon. I'm more interested in fun than I am forgiveness. I'm more interested in self than I am being saved. And what if Zacchaeus would have said, you know, I'm going to wait till he comes back through. I'm going to wait till a future time when Jesus, after all, He'll be back. He only passed through Jericho One time. And I'm trying to use that to say this. If God ever speaks to your heart, if God ever knocks on your heart's door, if God ever deals with you, if God ever speaks to you, you would be a fool to turn Him away because you're taking a chance. You're taking a chance with eternity. You're taking a chance with destiny that says that He'll be back. He may never be back. He doesn't have to return. He does not have to offer a second time this offer of salvation. Amen. I want to ask you a question this morning. How many in this room got saved the very first time Jesus ever dealt with you about the subject of salvation? I want you to raise your hand. 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8 people. 8 people in this congregation, my friend, said they got saved the very first time that God ever dealt with them. Brother Clipper, how old were you when you got saved? Now I want y'all to hear that. I didn't know that Brother Clipper got saved the first time God ever dealt with him till I think just now. And he was 53 years old. You don't know when the sweet visit of God is going to come into your life. It might be as a child. It might be as a teenager or whatever. But in Brother Clipper's case, 53 years old, the sweet voice of God speaking to him for the first time. Who else raised her hand? How old were you? 4 years old, Lucas. 6. 9 years old. 23. 7. 15. 11. 11. Did you hear the variation of ages? You don't know, friend. I'm talking about you need to treat as a treasure. If God, out of almost 7 billion people on planet Earth, if He shows mercy and grace enough to you, to my friend, to draw close to you, to speak to you, to, as it were in this text, to come down your street, to come to the place where you are for the purpose of dealing with you, I want to tell you, you better not take that lightly, because He may not speak again. I've heard testimonies personally that said, "Preacher, I got saved, God dealt with me and I got saved, but God told me that this was it." The young man, my pastor in North Carolina, his oldest son, my friend, got saved the night I surrendered to preach. He got up to leave. I'm talking about the pastor's son. Got up to leave, walked out the door, down the steps, and when he got to the bottom of the steps, one of the mountain churches there in Middle Fork, y'all seen it, bunch of steps at the front. And when he got to the bottom step, God told him, said, "You leave. I will never speak to you again. I will never deal with you again. It's tonight or never." He wheeled around on the bottom step, back up the steps, into the church, didn't stop at a pew, down the aisle he come, got an old-fashioned altar, stood up and gave testimony of what I just told you, and he got gloriously saved. You don't know, my friend, when that God's going to speak to you, where you're going to be. You can't always be in church. If I understand, Bobby, you was wanting to wait till today to get saved, right? You can't plan that. You can't plan that. God deals with you in the service. You can't say, "All right, Holy Ghost, I know you're dealing with me, and I want to get saved, but I'm going to wait till I get home. Or I'm going to wait till family's here. I'm going to wait till this circumstance." You can't plot it. You can't plan it. You can't put salvation in a calendar. You can put a dentist appointment in the calendar, a doctor's appointment in the calendar. Amen. You can punch a clock at work, but you can't put God on a clock or in a calendar. There are people, I'm telling you, I get to preach quite a bit, and I'm telling you, I know this for a fact. There are people sitting on our pews that have not had God speak to them in years. I got saved at 20 years old. You've heard my testimony. I've heard hundreds and hundreds and hundreds of sermon messages and a lot of exposure to the Bible. Thank God for my heritage. But I can recall about 3 times that God ever dealt with me. 3 times, though I heard hundreds of messages. I mean, you think about 20 years, and I went to church 9 months before I was even born. Y'all get that tomorrow. Amen. Mama took me to church, I'm telling you, the whole time. But listen, 3 times, Brother Carroll, Brother Clipper, that he called me. And the first time I recall God ever dealing with me, I was about 8 years old. Are you listening? Then he dealt with me once during my teenage year, and then he dealt with me at 20. I mean, listen, I'm talking about setting it all around me. The preaching is going on every service, every Sunday. Sunday morning, 52 Sunday mornings, 52 Sunday nights, 52 Wednesday nights, revival meetings, Bible school, and all of that plus other things for 20 years. It was all around me. I was close to it, but God never spoke to me. You know why Bobby got saved? Because God spoke to him. God visited his pew last Sunday and dealt with him not just then, but throughout the week and even at Brother Silas's house. Amen. Oh, I'm talking about if you get saved, there must be a visit. You listen, come on. Hey, come here. You don't just go to the altar to be going. You cannot get saved if your whole motive for going to an altar is because your buddy went. Well, my friend has gone, so I'm going. My son went, I'm going. My sister went, I'm going. My parent went, I'm going. No, friend, you can only get saved when you personally have a visit from Jesus through the Holy Spirit. Amen. A lot of people went to an altar and made a profession because so-and-so did. You can't do that, friend. There can be 500 people get saved in one service, but God dealt with each one of them, each individually and personally. Can you recall in your life, you that claim to be saved, can you recall in your life when God got to dealing with you and visiting you in light of the text, visiting with you and speaking to you and working in your heart, and you responded? If you can go back in your life and you don't see that, can you possibly claim real Bible salvation? That's basic, isn't it? That's right, elementary, right down to the basic truths of God's Word. There must be a visitation. Jesus passed through one time for one person. Jesus in John 4 went through Samaria, off limits for a Jew, but He went through Samaria and, oh yes, He went through there on purpose. He wasn't just lost, drifting around and alone, but He had a purpose. He knew where He was going. And He knew what time to get at Jacob's well to meet that woman that we know to be the woman at the well. Hallelujah. Isn't that wonderful that there has been those pinpointed times in your life that all of a sudden you looked around and you wasn't planning it. You was just doing your thing. Amen. You were just going on your daily activity and all of a sudden there's Jesus in your life. Hallelujah. Amen. Hallelujah, that's wonderful. In fact, my testimony is the night I got saved, I did not go to get saved. I didn't go to get saved. I was just going to church. That's what we did. That's how you kept peace at the house. You went to church. Because it wouldn't be good if you didn't go to church. Thank God for mom and daddies like that. But I didn't go to get saved that night. And here I am, sitting on in the same church building that I've been in for 20 years. Here I am, little old me, have my life plotted out and planned out and enjoying my sin. Just eased in and sat down on about the fifth row or so on this side, sitting there minding my little business. And all of a sudden, through the preaching of the Word of God, there was Jesus at my pew, got my attention, dealing with me, speaking to me, and showed me that I was lost. Do you remember? I'm about to get happy preaching this. Do you remember? Can you recall back in your life somewhere, sometime, and there was a somewhere, and there was a sometime, if you got saved? I had a lady Friday night. I'd say she was in her 60s. I didn't ask her age, but I'd say she has ever been in her 60s. She said to me in the altar, she said, "Preacher, I've went back in my life," because I preached it. She said, "I went back in my life to try to find my spiritual birthday." And she said, "Preacher, I'm talking about a faithful church lady. I'm talking about a lady that's involved in that church. I don't know nothing about her. I don't know her, but said probably. I mean, involved in that church. Went there for years. Her and her family." She said, "Preacher, I can't find a birthday." I said, "Ma'am, I'm not the authority. I can't tell you you're saved or not. I can't. But I want to tell you one thing. If there was no birthday, you are not saved now. You don't just evolve into salvation. You don't just educate into salvation. You don't just arrive into salvation. You get into God's world and God's kingdom the same way you get into this world. There was a birthday. There was a day, my friend, for me, it was January the 1st, 1961, that I took my first breath of air in this world. And I am a very young 49 years old, amen. And the life I'm now living now is the result and the consequence of that birthday. That lady had what you would call a Christian life. She had the life, but she did not have a birthday. She could not, and she was troubled, I'm telling you. She could not go back in her life and find a birthday, a time when God dealt with you. And I said, "Ma'am," I said, "it's not important that you remember if it was Monday or Thursday or Saturday or Sunday morning." I said, that would be good if you remember that, but that's not important. That's not important if you could remember if it was June or September. Or amen, you can't remember that. But I said, I want to tell you, you will know, I will know, everybody will know that there was, I may not remember the specifics, some of the minute details of the event, but I'll know, brother, that there was a then, there was a place, there was a time in my life that I got hemmed up, if I could use that word. I got hemmed up of God, and He dealt with me and spoke to me, and I responded and done business with Him. Has there ever been a time in your life that you can testify of a visitation of God? Zacchaeus, my friend, of the last day he lived, could tell you there was a day Jesus come through my town on my street, got to my tree, and looked up on my limb and called my name. I say glory, amen. Some of you need to do like Bobby. Give yourself a Bible exam. Hey. Can you take that pen out and mark that one off? Can you mark that one off? Hey, no need me to preach the rest of them. I've got about 10 or 12. No need to preach none of the rest of them if you can't mark that first one off. Because if God has never visited you, He's never spoke to you. If God has never paid a visit to you in your life, you know what I'm talking about. I'm not talking about Him coming in bodily form and standing at your bedside. If you've seen that, you eat too many onions before you went to bed. No man's seen God at any time. Amen. God is a spirit. You can't see God. You can feel God. You can sense God, but you can't see God. Hey, I want to ask you something. Has there been a time that God dealt with you? And it's more than just that. It's more than just that. Did you respond? Right. We're not Calvinists, friend, and I don't need to explain that. If you don't know what that is, don't even worry about it. Amen? But we're not Calvinists that believe that basically states that those that's going to get saved, going to get saved. God just saves them. And those that ain't elect, they're just going to hell. And that's pitiful. That's just the way it is. But that's not the Bible. That's Calvinism. That's John Calvin's teaching. We're not Calvinists, friend. I'm going to tell you, there is a time that God gets close to you and deals with you. It might be in a song. It might be in a sermon. It might be in a Sunday school class. It might be through a relative witnessing to you. It might be somebody, my friend, leaving a tract in the John where you're going to be and you pick it up and read it. It might be Brother Silas knocking on your door. It might, amen, somewhere there's going to be a time that God deals with you. And you respond. You don't get saved just by the visit. You don't get saved just because Jesus came into your town, got on your street, come to your tree, looked up on your limb and called your name. Zacchaeus got saved because he responded. He made haste and came down. And Jesus said, I must abide at thy house today. Amen. Jesus said, I'm going home with you, Zacchaeus. Amen. Hallelujah. I can't wait to preach that point. But number two, I may not deal too much further, but can you mark that one off? I can't mark it off for you now. I cannot. Even if I could see what looks to be that God is dealing with you, I still can't mark it off that you responded to that visit. There was a young man, 15 years old, on Friday night. He stood up. He's one of the ones that climbed across pews to get an altar. 15 years old. Teenage boy. He climbed across the pews. Actually, climbing across the pews going that way. Because the back aisle behind the back pew was closer than this aisle, that aisle, or this aisle. So he just walked the pews that way and got in that back aisle and around and down and he came. And I dealt with him in the altar. And he said, Preacher, God dealt with me Wednesday night, but I was scared. He said, Preacher, God dealt with me again Thursday night. But he said, I couldn't handle it tonight. In other words, he testified that God had visited with him on his pew on Wednesday and on Thursday. But on Friday, he couldn't handle it. He responded. He responded. And I seen that he was emotional. I'm thinking, I forgot his name now. I think it's Kyle. I said, salvation now is more than just you shedding a tear. I said, in this altar now, I said, did you do business with God? It's not the fact that somebody was showing you in the Scripture what God said. That's good. That's wonderful. That's important. But I want to know, did you ask God? Did you pray? Seriously. I've seen people go to the altar, weep, cry, tears running down their face. But it's more than that. Corinthians talks about a godly sorrow that worketh repentance. Not just being sorry. Amen. I used to be growing up, I'd get sorry and shed tears because I got caught. And Daddy helped me with some of them tears. Amen. But you know what? There wasn't no repentance. There wasn't no repentance. I was crying because I got caught. I was crying because Daddy was taking care of business. Are you listening? Can you mark that visit off? Isn't this basic? Isn't this very elementary? Isn't this right just step 1, 2, 3? Boom, boom, boom. I've heard of people getting saved at 4 years old. I've heard of people getting saved at 6 years old. Right on, I mean, various ages. But I'm going to tell you, even as a young child. And I dealt with one, listen, I dealt with one Friday night. She was tore all to pieces, 6 years old. And the mama was in the altar with her and a couple of other ladies from Brother Jeff Ledbetter's church. And they called and wanted me to deal with her. I got down there. She was tore up. I mean tore up, Brother Brian. But she wasn't ready. If I ask a young person, regardless of the age, do you know what sin is? And they don't know, they can't get saved. How can you get saved from sin if you don't even know what it is? She was tore up. I mean weeping, crying, tore all to pieces. And I asked her just a few little simple basic questions. And she didn't, there was no answer, no good clear answer there that there was the conviction that the God of heaven was working. And I told her, I said, God's a dealing with you, but you're not ready yet. I told the mom, I said, I believe we're doing right. We could have got a profession out of her. I mean, she's scared to death of the preacher. Been up there hollering and screaming for an hour. She's scared of me, probably. I could have got a profession out of that little girl. Stood her up in front of the church. Did you get saved, Kendall? Was her name. And put some words in her mouth. But what good is that if there's no real, genuine birth? I'd rather let her stew, if I could use that word, in conviction, and let God just keep working and dealing with her and speaking to her till there is an understanding. Nobody gets saved until there's an understanding. That's another good reason why I'm against infant baptism. It's not in the Bible. Amen. Babies, they don't have a clue what's going on. They don't know the difference of sprinkling them in a church service or baptizing them or getting them wet in a bathtub. They don't know no difference. You get saved with knowledge. Say amen right there. Babies are safe until they reach that age that they know right and wrong. But simply this morning, can you mark that one off? I am saved or I'm not saved. Now, let me deal with the second one, and that's probably as far as I'll go this morning. I wasn't aiming to stay that much on that first one, but I couldn't get off of it because it's so crucial. It is so foundational. If that one's not in your life, none of the rest of them are, I can assure you. Has there ever been that visit from God in your life? And don't ever get over it. If you that know that it's happened, don't ever get over it. Don't ever get over it. Don't ever quit telling it. But number two, not only did Zacchaeus' salvation involve a visitation, but Zacchaeus' salvation involved preparation. Look, I'm right here in the text. Y'all following me still? I'm not the kind of preacher that's just going to ramble all over the Bible and give you, and you don't have a clue what I preach. I'm preaching right out of Luke 19. Verse number one, we have the visitation. And Jesus entered and passed through Jericho. Look at verse 2 and 3. Behold, there was a man named Zacchaeus, which was the chief among the publicans, and he was rich. And watch this right here. Here it comes. And he sought to see Jesus, who he was. Something had to happen to cause Zacchaeus to seek God. Because the Bible says there is none that seeketh after God. No, not one. A man, woman, boy, and girl left to themselves will never seek after God. They will follow that depraved nature of theirs until literally they drop into the place called hell. Amen. There was some preparation. Something happened to stir the curiosity of Zacchaeus. Something got him curious. Where do you get that at? The Bible said he sought to see Jesus, who he was. He probably could say, I've heard about him. And I'd never seen this before until studying for this message. Look at verse 1, the first word. What is it? Say it loud. And. Ms. Paul, sir, you teach English? Is and a conjunction? Is and a word of connection? Does and reach back to what has just been said and then extends to what is fixing to be said? Is that not what and does? Well, let's back up and see what and's got hooked to it. I seen this, I about had a spell, I'm telling you. Let's just back up and start. We'll just jump in verse 38. And he cried, saying, Jesus, thou son of David, have mercy upon me, the blind man, blind Bartimaeus. Jesus, thou son of David, have mercy upon me. And they which went before rebuked him, that he should hold his peace, but he cried out so much the more, thou son of David, have mercy upon me, on me. And Jesus stood and commanded him to be brought unto him, and when he was come near, he asked him, saying, what wilt thou that I should do unto thee? Now get the picture. Here's a blind man been brought to Christ, and he's standing there in front of Jesus. Jesus said, what wilt thou that I should do unto thee? And he said, Lord, that I may receive my sight. He knew what he needed. You don't get help till you know what you need. You can't bow down and say, Lord, if I'm not saved, save me. You got the Lord to help you to know whether you are or are not. Amen. He said, that I might receive my sight. Now watch this. And Jesus said unto him, receive thy sight, thy faith hath saved thee. Verse 43 is the key. And immediately he received his sight and did what? Come on now, say it loud. He received his sight and as a result followed him. Amen. If you're not following Christ, let me help you from the Scripture. You're still blind. Spiritually. He got his sight, and as the result, he started following Jesus. And I can make a bold statement right here. Saved people are followers of Jesus. Sheep follow the shepherd. We are disciples of the Lord, and a disciple follows Christ. Now watch this. And immediately he received his sight and followed him, watch this, glorifying God. And all the people, when they saw it, gave praise unto God, verse 1, and entered into Jericho. Do y'all notice something right here? The word Jesus is italicized. Y'all see that? Thank God for our King James Bible. Them italicized words lets me know this is God's Word. That means the translators was honest with the translation to let us know that this word, Jesus here, was added by the translators for the purpose of reading clarification. You won't find italicized words in an NIV. You know why? Because the translators are heathens. The translators were not honest with you and what they call a Bible to italicize words that they know was not in the manuscripts. Not to mention the fact that those other versions didn't even come out of the same manuscripts as the King James Bible. They come out of the Westcott and Hort text, and there's not one lick of evidence, nowhere, no time, no how, that neither Westcott nor Hort was even saved. They was involved in spiritism and witchcraft and everything else. You think God's going to use an unholy vessel to translate His holy word? Negative. If you've got a King James Bible, you ought to kiss it in. Thank God for the word of the Lord. Amen. That might unnerve some of you, but watch this right here. That blind man got his eyes open, went down the street glorifying the Lord, following Christ. He was following Christ. Verse number 9, and entered. In other words, when Jesus come into Jericho, the blind man was with Him, and that other multitude that was up there in verse number 43 was with Him as well. And they come into Jericho, and no doubt, the blind man was testifying. The Bible said that he was glorifying God. Amen. Zacchaeus might have said, "What in the world is he shouting about?" And that blind man could have said, "I once was blind, but now I see." He made the difference. Who did? Jesus. What He done for me, He can do for you. Amen. It's important that we testify. It's important that we glorify the Lord, because there's some Zacchaeuses around that needs to hear about it. And as they hear about your testimony and mine, it will stir them to be curious. It will stir them to seek after the Lord. So it involved visitation and it involved preparation. If anybody gets saved, there's got to be some work behind the scene. Amen. God dealing with you. God speaking to you. Sir, don't ever get mad at that individual that witnesses to you, hands you a gospel tract or whatever, or calls you on the phone and invites you to church. Don't get mad at them. That could be God's preparatory work. That could be God just prepping you. Amen. Stirring up a desire, stirring up a curiosity to seek after the Lord. Oh, I wish I could preach all of this morning, but there's no way I can. Has there ever been that visitation in your life? Are you listening? Dr. J. Harold Smith, one of the greatest preachers ever breathed God's air on this planet. Dr. J. Harold Smith, he's in glory now. Dr. W. A. Criswell, used to pastor First Baptist Church in Dallas, Texas. Great, great man of God's in heaven now. Both of those men, among others, stated that the church is the greatest, one of the greatest mission fields of our day. Because hid out in the membership of a lot of churches are people that cannot mark off the visitation of God, cannot mark off that preparation of God. God stirring you and working in your heart, getting you to that point where the Bible said he sought to see Jesus, who He was. Now watch this right here, and I'm going to be done here just a short moment or two. There's nothing wrong with me telling a sinner, seek after God. I've told many of them to do that. Isaiah, I believe it's chapter 55, verse 6, is it? Seek ye the Lord while He may be found. Call ye upon Him while He is near. Seek the Lord. Zacchaeus, the Bible said, sought to see Jesus, who He was. There's nothing wrong with a sinner positioning himself where he thinks Jesus most likely might pass through. If I was a lost person, I'd be in church every service. Or I say I would, but that's where I would need to be. Why? Because it's very likely that Jesus is going to pass through anywhere. It's going to pass through the house of God. And I wouldn't go to just any church.
That's right.
I'd ask around town and find out what preacher is hated the most. And that's probably where I'd go. I wouldn't go to no compromising church. I wouldn't go to no liberal church. I'd find out a preacher that is concerned more about your soul than he is a paycheck and a parsonage, a benefit, or anything else. And will preach the truth to you. Because John 8:32 still says, "And ye shall know the truth, and the truth shall make you free." Takes the truth. Has there ever been that visitation? Has there ever been that preparation? Has there ever been a time God had stirred a desire in you and a curiosity in you to where you wanted to get saved and you started getting interested and you pursued and began to seek after the things of God? Getting saved. Let's all stand, Ms. Paul, if you'll come. Heavenly Father, I've tried my best, Your Lord, to preach, God, what You told me to this morning. And Lord, I want to thank You for, Lord, the conviction and the dealing that I sense in my heart. Lord, I pray right now, dear Lord Jesus, that You will take the message, the truth of it, and speak to hearts with it. Lord, there's folk in this building today that needs to be born again, needs to be saved by God's amazing grace. And I'm asking You right now, Father, that You would work in their heart and that You would draw them and that You would speak to them and that You'd work in their heart. This would be the day of salvation in their life. Work faith in their heart that would have an assurance and a confidence that would state that if I do go to that altar, if I do ask God to save me, that He will in fact do it because He cannot lie. Take the message today. There's people in this building needs to think seriously about what was preached today. They need to give themselves an exam as Bob, Brother Bobby testified. See if they pass. John 5:39, search the Scriptures. For in them you think you have eternal life, for they are they that testify of Me. Jesus said the Scriptures is the final authority. Search the Scriptures. Examine yourself whether you be in the faith. Lord, I pray right now in Jesus' name that You'd work and deal. Save sinners. Stir the saints. And I hope that people in this building heard the testimony of Brother Bobby today. Things he said are so evident and so crucial and so needed. Speak to us today, I pray. Save sinners, and we'll give You the glory in Jesus' name.
God bless you. Thank you for visiting Rogersville Baptist Temple's website and for listening to this message preached at Rogersville Baptist Temple.